Welcome to The Sensuous, a radical celebration of your inner sensuous creature, your feeling, humming, dancing essence that's throbbing with creative impulse, orgasmic sensitivity, intuitive wisdom, and primal wildness. The part of you that perceives with the whole of your body and is interconnected with all that is. The one who's here to not only live, but be alive. This podcast invites you to re-experience yourself as a vital organ of the greater animate world, relating to your eroticism, pleasure, emotions, and full spectrum humanness as gateways to your own divinity. I'm your guide, Nadine Hamilton, seasoned sexuality coach, somatic practitioner, intimacy educator, and lifelong student. Join me and my guests as we explore the sacred and the profane through a somatic lens, unraveling all things sex, power, mysticism, healing, and conscious relating. This is the call of the sensuous. Hello, hello, beautiful humans. I'm so thrilled to have you here tuning in. This episode is so good. I'm going to keep this intro pretty short and sweet, but I sat down with one of my friends, Xiaowei, and Xiaowei is a sex and empowerment coach and sexological bodyworker in training, and this conversation is so fucking juicy. Oh my God, I can't wait for you to hear this. We talked about how to truly give pleasure to your partner from this place where you're rooted in your own worthiness and your own ownership of your body, your pleasure, and your sexuality, instead of only relating to giving pleasure to your partner from this place of obligation or transaction or trying to unconsciously obtain or get something out of the experience, like a sense of validation or acceptance or some unmet childhood need that we never got from our parents. We also talked about the intersection of spirituality and sexuality and how they are actually one and the same, and embodying your deep-rooted self-worth in sex, intimacy, and relationships, how your sexuality is first and foremost you and yourself. It doesn't only exist for another person or only exist when you're in a relationship or having sex with another person. It is you and it is yours. We also spoke about going from sex being boring or painful to ecstatic lovemaking and exactly what that looks like. We spoke about genital de-armoring and sexological bodywork and reclaiming the true power and beauty of seeking support, education, and professional help within sex, love, and relationships, instead of thinking that we should naturally have it all figured out and do it by ourselves. We also spoke about penis massage and erotic massage and all of this juiciness that goes into creating a really beautiful erotic experience for your partner that is coming from this deep place of heart connection and pouring into your partner while also staying connected to pleasure and love within yourself and not losing yourself in the experience. So I truly can't wait for you to tune into this episode. And as always, it absolutely makes our day to hear from you. So let us know what resonates. What are you taking away? What did you learn? What surprised you? And it really makes a huge difference if you take a moment to share this episode on social media or share it with your friends, with your lover, with your partner, and also to leave a rating and a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It makes a massive difference and allows this podcast to stay up and running. So thank you so much in advance. And without further ado, here's today's episode of The Sensuous. Enjoy. I'm sitting here with Xiaowei, who is a soul sister who I got to meet and live with last year, was it? Or no, 2 years ago now. Yeah, first met in Mexico in a really beautiful sisterhood experience, and then also got to live together in Costa Rica. And Xiaowei is someone who, in my perspective, like, you embody and hold this frequency of like deep gratitude and joy and playfulness. And like, I don't think I've ever heard you complain, and just being around you has allowed me to strengthen my own connection to gratitude and acceptance of what's here, which can be really hard sometimes in the human experience. So, Xiaowei, thank you for being here. I'm so excited to have you. Welcome.
Yes, long overdue. I love being here with you.
Thank you, love. So we were chatting before recording about some different topics that we want to explore. And one of them is how to give pleasure from a place of worthiness. And worthiness has been a topic that's been very alive for me throughout my entire life, as I know it has been for a lot of people. And for the vast majority of my life, I related to my pleasure and my sexuality as something that only exists for someone else, in particular, a man. And when I would be in like a sexual space with a lover or a partner when I was younger, it was very like performative, and it wasn't coming from this rooted, grounded place of like worthiness and claiming my pleasure and sexuality as my own and something that I want to share with someone. It was more of like, I'm going to give this to you so that please, 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 you love me and accept me and validate me and show me that I'm worthy and lovable and beautiful and all of the things. And that was very unconscious. But I would love to ask you, like, what has your relationship or your journey been like in regards to, yeah, giving pleasure and owning your pleasure from this place of worthiness?
Yeah. That's like a reminder of how, like what you just described was like a reminder of the past almost. If, 'cause I definitely remember starting off feeling like that. And at the time, like even worse, I didn't know how to give pleasure. So most of the times I was in freeze. And when I started to learn how to give pleasure, it was definitely coming from a place of like, oh, I hope he likes it, or I hope he likes it, or there's this unconscious need to be seen and recognized, acknowledged almost through the act of giving pleasure. And that's, yes, I'd say coming from a place of wanting actually, instead of like fully giving. But yeah, I think that's like what you just described. It was the kind of like the cultural, like global cultural script that most people, when they thought, when and a lot of women, when they first thought, think about giving pleasure, that's kind of what comes up. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of girls as well.
Yeah.
So a lot for a long time, actually, when I first started like learning how to give pleasure, it gave me a lot of ego boost in a way. Like it made me feel, oh, I like feel good that I can have this effect on the other person. But I remember for a big majority of like especially in the early years of my sexual life, I remember like me giving pleasure as a big part of, or me allowing being the big part of the sexual interaction, like not so much on the other side where I am like the other person is giving pleasure or I'm receiving pleasure from them. Because I didn't feel worthy or just it's not registered as something that would happen if I didn't have orgasm or if I didn't have like, you know, a really amazing like pleasure giving session. I'm like, no, it's okay. Like it's fine. Oh God, even just thinking about this made me like shrink a little. Yeah, I'd say that's like the primary experience that I had. And then as I think it, the more I do it and the more I really do it from a place of deeper embodiment, like a deeper connection to myself and the more I see my, I really witness my magic. And it's not just like in the physical touch, it's also in it's and maybe more so in the energy, like the energy that I'm in when I'm doing this. More and more I started to feel like it's not just like coming from a place of lower worthiness, but more like a self-expression of this is how I express my sexuality, and it's a gift, or you are in the presence, or you're witnessing me experiencing my sexuality, and there is this body in front of me that it's like a canvas for me. It's because I consider it to be artwork, and this body is the canvas. So it's coming from a really different energy when I think about the later one that I just mentioned. Like the body feels more expansive and the body feels more flowy, and there's less like you're less much in your head, because what happened is when you're giving from a place of pleasing, now that's the word I was looking for, when you're giving pleasure from a place of pleasing, you might be thinking about, oh, does he like it? Am I doing it right? How do I look? Like what you were saying, like a really performative place. And that's, I think, most where most of us started. Yeah. So when it's not that, it's you're just in your body. You're in your body, and then you're radiating that energy out. And it really created a space for deeper meeting and pleasure to happen.
So well said. I especially like, my whole body lit up when you said relating to the body as a canvas and relating to the eros and the aliveness between two bodies, like as a canvas and as a work of art, or even as an instrument, and you're playing music together, and it just becomes like this beautiful, intuitive flow state, instead of trying to like make something happen or contort your body so that it looks a certain way. And so many of us, and also for me, for most of my life, like we have sex from the mind and from judging and analyzing and rationalizing and like unconsciously trying to get something. And I think this is probably especially the case for women, is like we've been conditioned from such a young age, like to use our sensuality and our bodies and our sexualities to manipulate someone and to get something, which historically is pretty valid, because for most of history, like we didn't have access to resources and finances and a sense of safety and security. So I feel like we've been conditioned to use our sexuality and our body and our femininity in a way to like get something. And I feel like that's still so instilled in us.
Yeah, I think that happened. Like what you said was, you know, using our body to get resources was something that happened maybe centuries ago, or maybe just 100 years ago. But now I think what happened is on a more unconscious level, maybe consciously, most people don't think that we are using sex to get something. But if I look deeper into it, I can totally see how a lot of what I consider to be, oh, that's just my desire to, you know, have sex with this person, actually came from an unconscious need to be loved or be desired, or a conscious need to kind of push this relationship forward so that I can be loved. And yes. And that's also like a need that's very subtle, and it's really hard to tell.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. And also, like, this is so common and so widespread. So if people are listening and you're resonating with that and you're like, oh my God, that's what I'm doing subconsciously, or maybe even consciously, please don't shame or blame or judge yourself, because as humans, One of the things in my experience that we want more than anything is love and is acceptance and is belonging. And deep down, our inner child just wants mommy and daddy to pick us up and love us. And so as we grow older, we like unconsciously seek that out in relationships and in love and sexuality. So when we can take the time and the space to cultivate that within ourselves and to like self-source this inner sense of love and security and I got me no matter what, we don't have quite as much of like that graspy energy of like, I need you so much in order to finally access this sense of love and safety and belonging. Instead, we like harness that from within, which doesn't mean we never need it from other people, but it's no longer like this, yeah, this graspy energy in my experience.
Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling so much like
inspiration
too. Was flying. It is a really different place to be in when you're entering sex from a place of even unconscious needing, which I think characterized a lot of my experiences, but also like, and very different than coming from giving. And I think a lot of the times it's a mixture of the both. Like there might be this genuine desire to give this experience to give this pleasure, like intertwined with this unconscious desire or need, like hoping that this experience will, you know, bring me love or bring us closer so that I feel love. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they kind of coexist together, and so it's not like it's 100% this and none of that. Yeah.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because I'm such a huge fan of paradox and recognizing that so many different seemingly opposite things coexist at once. And as we're speaking, like a traumatic memory, so I guess trigger warning, came up for me around the very first time that I gave oral sex. I was young, maybe 14 or 15. I want to say 15. And I didn't know it at the time. I didn't have this awareness, but it was not consensual. He forced me down and literally like pushed my head down. And in that moment, like consent wasn't even a word in my vocabulary. And I had no idea that I had the right to say no. And I also, as we're saying, like I really associated my sense of security and validation and lovability and safety with this boy telling me or choosing me, you know, like I felt like my worthiness was dependent on him liking me and approving of me. So, I know so many people have had similar experiences. And if someone is wanting to heal their relationship with how they show up when they're giving pleasure to their partner and they want it to be rooted in like worthiness and love and this beautiful gift that they're offering, maybe what are some tools or tips or practices or words of wisdom that you would share?
Oh, thank you. I felt like it's like really synchronizing. I think a really important mindset to start with is that it's this intersectionality between sexuality and spirituality where we are whatever we unintentionally seeking outside to fulfill us, it won't happen. It won't come from the outside. And it really it's this knowing and feeling that it comes from within. But it's a whole other topic, but that's just like the basic mindset. And I think to a practice that would help instill this knowing into the body is really, I think, self-pleasuring or having this amazing sexual relationship with oneself, because then Like if you can turn yourself on, if you touch yourself in a really hot and beautiful or a sensual or pleasurable way, then like you know that sex doesn't need to only happen when you are with the other person, and most likely with a lot of the times with a different sex. Sex is something that first and foremost, your connection to yourself and your connection to your own body, and you have to know it from actually doing it and being in it. And when you have that, ooh, I think that started to create a different story where, this is, I don't need the other person for sex to happen. I really don't. It happens on... It happens when I want to, and I can do it like on my own, and it's beautiful, and it's beautiful when there is a meeting, but that shouldn't be the only source of us connecting to our sexuality. And so I think what was lacking in our culture is this first layer of like contact to ourselves, because well, in a lot of culture, masturbation is sinful or dirty or bad. Yeah, and then we outsource our sexuality to other people, and that's where we got disempowered in life and sexuality. Really, it's this like intrinsic connection to ourself was for some reason shamed and banned, and then we need that from people outside of us. In sex, it's our partner. In life, it's our parents, or you know, like acknowledgement or appreciation from the authority. And that ties this back to the worthiness piece, right? Like we only feel worthy when we are acknowledged and approved of by an external figure and standard, instead of feeling that like this fullness from within.
One of the most profound shifts happened in how I experience life, intimacy, sexuality, pleasure, and my own body when I realized that if we truly say that we desire a life of more pleasure, then we must consciously spend more time in pleasure. Pleasure is a practice and a skill that we can learn and strengthen. And aside from a deeply relaxed nervous system, an incredibly powerful catalyst for living a life of pleasure, aliveness, connection, and embodiment is choosing to cultivate your erotic turn-on and awaken your sensuous body. How we touch, hold, express, and relate to our bodies directly reflects how we show up in our external worlds. I've now spent years working with clients on exactly this and training intensively in fields such as integrative sex and embodiment coaching, sacred sexuality and tantra, somatic healing, and intimacy education. I've now channeled all of this life-changing wisdom into my program, Erotic Revival. This four-month online somatic sexual healing and empowerment immersion is truly a journey of a lifetime, and the next cohort begins this April. I'm so excited. You'll learn to use erotic embodiment, conscious self-pleasure, ritual, meditation, and somatic exploration as tools for expansion, awakening, sexual wholeness, and profound self-love. You'll activate your wildest pleasure, orgasmic potential, embodied confidence, spiritual connection, and sensual expression. This immersion includes live group calls, private coaching sessions, a private community support space, and expertly guided lessons and practices to integrate the transformation into your everyday life. You'll put theory into practice, ensuring an experiential and embodied integration of all that you're learning as you unravel all that's been keeping you from knowing, expressing, and owning your true, authentic, erotic self. We'll journey through different modules such as oceanic self-love and heart opening, awakening pleasure, desire, and sensuality, sexual healing, wildness, power, and orgasmic living, and sacred sexuality and energy play. Applications are now open for Erotic Revival, and you can learn more at bloomwithnadine.com/erotic revival, or you can find the link directly in the show notes below. There are very juicy early bird bonuses and discounts available, so I highly recommend applying now. I would be deeply honored to welcome you inside of this truly magical and transformative container, because a woman who owns her sexuality, her body, her boundaries, her expression, her truth, and her desires is a woman who owns her life. Now back to the episode.
Oh my God, Shawe, I like want to do backflips right now. I'm like, yes, everything you're saying. And in my experience, like the deeper I embody like this fucking delicious self-love that I'm like somatically pouring into myself through erotic embodiment and self-pleasure practices, the more connected I am to giving pleasure to a partner from this place of like, the act of giving genuinely being pleasurable for me too. Like the best oral sex or hand jobs or giving pleasure to another person that I've ever experienced is when like it's turning me on so much and I'm so connected to my pleasure and my sensations. And it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm just giving this to you because I hope it makes you feel good. Like, yes, I want that. And also I'm doing it for me because it's coming from this place of overflow. And like over New Year's, I was super sick. I had this really bad sinus infection. So I stayed in and I was like, okay, I'm going to have a night of solitude. And I did like this whole witchy New Year's ritual. And I was like, I'm going to make this the best I can possibly make this. And I like got candles and incense and music and pillows and blankets and made love to myself for so long. And it was like one of the most memorable self-love making sessions I've ever experienced because I kept asking myself, how much slower can I go? How much more present can I be with every little sensation? And it truly felt like and was love making with myself to the point where I was just crying so much. Not from a place of sadness, but from this place of just being so tender and open and grateful for this relationship that I've been able to cultivate with myself that for so long was not there. I hated myself for so long. So over time and a lot of patience, the more we connect with our physical bodies and we treat it like this beautiful temple that it is, it really does feel like being in a relationship with the goddess or God or the divine, and you re-meet yourself as that. And yeah, it was so beautiful.
Absolutely. I love that you just mentioned goddess when I am thinking about goddess, because yes. I think culturally, men and women are conditioned to think that men take pleasure from, or men like when women are submissive to them and when they're giving pleasure from a place that's like lower almost, you know, like, you know, pushing your head down while they're standing so that they feel like this, like, oh, I'm good or I'm powerful. That can't be further away from the truth, because that you think that gives you pleasure or like a stroke of the ego, but that really doesn't give you the most, like the immense pleasure that you can feel both as men and women. And because what happened is exactly what you're talking about. When a woman is in her body, when she's in her energy started to radiate out. And energy moving through her body, like Shakti moving through her body. And that's when like men get a chance to connect to the divine. And most men it wasn't even in their mind, because they had never saw this being displayed in porn, right? It was always this the other way around. And this is where it's also why I said it feels so different, not just for women who's giving pleasure. It feels so different when you're coming from a unworthy place or you're coming from a really worthy place. It feels very different for men. It feels immensely different for men. Because you are you're connecting to the divine through the woman, like this you know, the tarot card, the big I think it was 15, I don't remember. Lovers, if you remember, the man was looking at the woman when the woman was looking at the god. And I think having sex where woman really, you know, being in her pleasure fully, it's the representation and the embodiment of that card. Like it's we're actually making love.
Yes. And like so many women for hundreds, thousands of years, we've been so disconnected from our bodies and our power and our ecstasy and our pleasure. And if you think about it, we are quite literally the embodied gateways between the seen and the unseen, the cosmos and the earth. And like, God, we have so much creative power and sexual power within us, whether we want to create babies or we want to create beauty and projects and anything that we want to birth into the world. And when we connect with our sexual energy and circulate that through our body, it is literally like rocket fuel for the things that we want to create in the world. Even if it's wanting to create a deeper relationship with yourself or a deeper connection to the divine or to the goddess. And as you were speaking, a practice that came up for me in my mind that I would love to offer, it's one that I learned from Ma Ananda Sarita, who's an incredible tantra teacher. And it's called, "This is the body of the goddess." And first you say out loud, what parts of your body do you struggle with, or do you judge, or do you even dislike? And then you say out loud, what parts of your body do you love and do you just adore? And then first you bring your hands and slowly you bring them to the parts of your body that you struggle with or that give you pain or that you don't like, you have a bad relationship with or a difficult relationship with. And you say, for example, let's say it's your belly, and you hold your belly and you just say, this is the belly of the goddess. And you say that 3 times and you go to whatever body parts you struggle with. And then in the exact same tone of voice, you do the same thing for the body parts that you do like. So let's say you love your breasts. You would hold your breasts and say, these are the breasts of the goddess. Not changing the tone of voice between the ones you like or the ones you don't like. And then when you're done, you bring your hands from head to toe and just slowly caress your whole body from head to toe. And you say, this is the body of the goddess. And say it like you really mean it, like really feel those words. And the first time I did this practice, I just started bawling my eyes out, because of course there have been body parts that I've really struggled with for my whole life. And like in that moment, to slow down and bring all of my awareness to that body part and to hold it with like loving, accepting, gentle, tender hands, and to reclaim it as an expression of the divine was like so overwhelmingly beautiful. So whoever out there is listening and resonates with that practice, I would love to offer that to you. But does that bring up anything for you or any other practices or tools you want to sprinkle on that?
Oh, that was amazing. I was in a tantra retreat and we did exactly that with other sisters.
Wow.
And so it was like, as you were speaking, I was just remembering how we did that. In the witness of other sisters, those parts that we, you know, that we really struggle to accept or love can be adored and loved and appreciated in the eyes of other women. And then in the eyes of ourselves, it was really beautiful.
That's so powerful to do it while receiving that from another person and also being witnessed in that vulnerability. That's so powerful.
Yeah.
So I would love to steer our conversation, unless if there's anything else you wanted to say about the worthiness piece, but I would love to steer us in the direction of penis massage and cock worship. So
there's one more thing that I would like to share on.
Yeah.
It's a practice that we did in my sexological bodywork training. And which I think was so fundamental to know, to the knowing that our sex and our sexuality is first and foremost ourselves. And I had this experience where I was receiving a touch and from a man, and the way that it goes was me holding that finger and I guide that finger, that person, into my body on my own term, at my own pace, at the kind of pressure that I want it to be. And it's something so simple. I mean, like, I've already trained in and explore and even teach in this modality, but something so simple like that, I cried.
Wow.
I don't know if I cried, but I think I probably cried. And I was so deeply touched because, and I can also, like, of course, the person who was, you know, the man who is in, who is doing this from such a deep place of reverence, that also helped a lot. But it was, I think this is, you know, like this touched me so deeply because I felt so safe. And it's such a simple shift, but it really helped rewire. It helped to create a new understanding and a new story of how we relate to another person, especially a penis. Because what happened, what we saw only was, you know, penis kind of decide and penis take the charge and penis go and at whatever pace, whatever speed they want. And this simple shift of ownership, it moved me deeply. And the other day I was asked to share some of my suggestion for girls and women who's gonna have their first time. Never got asked a question like that. And when I got asked, I'm like, I know what I'm going to share. Like, this is what I share. Because imagine a world where this is how we had our first experience of receiving something into our body. And ideally, that first thing should be our own finger. Like, I really think that's the best way. But then if we're going to receive it from another person, or when you proceeded to receiving it from another person, it should be us holding them and guiding them 100% on our terms. Because we really help to establish that sense of deep, deep safety in our body. And you do not tolerate pain. Like, if it's painful, you stop or you go much slower. And and that way you do not instill this idea that, you know, first time is painful or intercourse is painful. Of course it was painful if it was like you don't know when it was coming and how hard it was gonna come and at what speed. It's just freaking scary for the body in a way. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you just said that. Holy shit. Wow. Yeah. Like, even as adults, there's so many people who have never, ever, ever had that lived experience with their genitals of interacting with this part of your body as something that you relate to with this deep listening and reverence and respect and tenderness. So many of us just completely disconnect from our genitals and shut it off from our realm of awareness. And we only interact with it when we're like trying to get something. There's a destination, there's a goal, we're trying to obtain something, whether that's shoving a tampon up there or shoving something up there at the OBGYN or getting to an orgasm, making yourself feel pleasure instead of listening to your body and asking yourself, what do you want right now? What do you need right now? What would help you to feel safe and held and supported? And even if like you're having an erotic experience with someone, I feel like our perspective of sex and sexuality and intimacy is so limited. And we think that it needs to look a certain way instead of what if this erotic experience was something that was also healing or therapeutic or a work of art, like you mentioned before, like it doesn't have to be so narrow. So it's interesting how like you could literally on a physical level be doing the same exact thing and have such a different experience. Like the situation you described, someone entering you with their finger, we can have that experience and our body can be shut down and traumatized, or we can shift it to, I am guiding you and I am showing you like what I want and what I need and what feels good, instead of relating to sex as something that we just tolerate. And oh, I feel pain right now, but I'm just going to tolerate it. No, we don't have to do that. It gets to be something that is so pleasurable and connected and even healing.
Yeah. No tolerating in sex if it's painful. And I know it's easier to say than done, but one thing that we were really taught in the training was like, no pain. Like, and if it's pain, stop. Like stop. And this should be like in our sex ed, right? Like if it's painful, stop. You don't. And really, if you had your first experience like that, there's no chance of it feeling like painful, because if it's painful, you stop. Then there's no painful experience in that day, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe the next day you do a different thing, and the next day, and then you go from one to two fingers, and you know, you don't need to have your first experience on that exact date. And it's a whole process opening, like giving birth. So yeah, when we really take the time and we really honor our body and we really feel like we are the owner, we're the host of this body, and we protect her. Like we are the one who's gonna set the boundary. We're the one who's gonna say who comes in and who's not. We're the one who's choosing. It's a really different, like, place to be in.
Yeah. I love that this is a thread of the whole conversation, is this radical ownership of your body, of your pleasure, of your sexuality. If someone's listening and maybe they do experience pain during sex, of course, there's no single diagnosis of, oh, you feel pain, so it means this. But if someone is struggling with painful sex, what would you maybe recommend to them? Or what is something that you think their body might be communicating to them?
Oh, I used to have like painful sex. Like that's why for the longest years I'm like, sex is boring and painful, like why would anybody like it? And it's a serious reason, like it's a lot of reason like causing that, like our anti-sex culture conditioning is manifested that in our body. And then also, like I said, a lot of unwanted touch. You don't even need to be it to be a like absolutely no, but just like, that's not how I prefer to receive, the speed, whatever, the size, anything can create that contraction in the body. Your body really holds the memory. Mm-hmm. And I think first you can seek professional help, like for example, sexological body worker, to explore that with you, and also just slow, being really, really, really slow. Like you can do some self de-armoring. You can do some self de-armoring with your finger, and really, or with some glass wand, glass dildo. Mm-hmm. And really breathe, like breathe with as you were touching and hold and still. Yeah, it's kind of like how you are receiving a releasing touch in massage. Yeah. So slowness, awareness, touch.
Yeah, I resonate with that so much. And especially what you said about our past experiences that haven't been fully processed or integrated, like that lives in our bodies, that lives in our tissues. So for so many of us, especially in the genitals, because it's been such a shamed and suppressed and like considered sinful place of our body, like we hold on to so much tension and tightness or even numbness and pain. And like, since we're taught not to go there, it kind of just builds up and gets tighter and more tense, instead of like taking the time to like very slowly and gently and lovingly just offering like very gentle touch and slowly working out that tension and massaging it, just like you would massage the rest of your body if you're feeling tense. Like, we can also do that internally. I'm actually going to have an interview in 2 days completely about genital dearmoring, but briefly, if someone,
amazing.
I know, I'm excited. But if someone doesn't know what dearmoring is, can you explain that? And also sexological body work. A lot of people don't know what that is.
Dearmoring is, imagine your body holds tension and it get tightened up. Like, for example, your neck, right? Like, it's, there's armor. You can think of it as your body has like an armor. And de-armoring is a way to like release that armor through really present touch and gentle and slow touch. I hope I explain it right, because I'm really happy you're gonna have an episode on that, because like I was gonna ask, maybe you did. That's amazing. And sexological body work is a profession and a modality of work where we do body work that's related to our sexuality and our genitals. And primarily what we are doing is somatic sex education. So the main goal is to really teach us how to connect with our body, like really doing sex from a really somatic way, instead of what we said earlier, like the performative way. Somatic meaning like soma, about body, like about us and to what, how we feel in sex, in our body, how to feel better, how to feel deeper, how to feel more in our body. And sexological body worker really help with that.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's interesting how like culturally, when it comes to sex and even relationships, we have this expectation that automatically, like, it should just work itself out. And if something's not working properly, quote unquote, like we're broken or something needs to be fixed, instead of relating to it as a relationship and also a skill. And there's like professionals who we can go to about these things. And that's why, like, to me, sexological body work is so exciting, because it feels so ancient, you know, like learning about sexuality through experience and through the body and feeling and exploring, instead of from the mind or like just reading a textbook. Like, it should be an experiential initiation.
Yeah, I'm happy you mentioned about like seeking professional support or even just seeking knowledge, because I saw this comment in my account the other day, when people be like, oh, our relationship are really like struggling with sexuality. And when I saw that, I thought to myself, there are so many things you can do, like literally so many things. And most people aren't aware of that, because I think first, there's so little conversation, like public conversation, about like sex, love, and relationship. And we kind of think that we should know it ourselves. And I think there is a sense of like, I don't know if there's a sense of like, first of all, we don't know. Like, it can be so much better, or it can, you can know yourself so much deeper when you reach out for help. And, and like, really, there are so many. I can talk about 10 more things you can do before you give it up. And it's a whole journey into yourself, like, really. Mm-hmm. And recently I'm developing this relationship to my own ignorance. And I really find this immense power when we acknowledge, when we admit that I don't know. And mm-hmm. it was so hard for me to admit, because my ego held dear life onto it. Like, I cannot not know. Like, this is how I feel. Like, and this is where my self sense of worthiness comes from. Like, I know and I'm smart. And if I mm-hmm. don't know, like, that's terrible. But recently, really, like, when I say, shit, I really don't know, and I can't be even more ignorant than this. And I had this facepalm moment, but it really, there was so much liberation in this, because what happened was, then I just started Googling, I started reading, I started, like, really learn from other people. And it's just the most beautiful growth period that I experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
I personally resonate with that so much. Like, always thinking that, like, my sense of self needs to come from a place of, like, knowing absolutely everything and always being the smartest and having the best answer and being super well spoken and da 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 da. Yeah. Wait, there was one more thing I really wanted to say. Also, like, I think, well, I know there's still a lot of stigma around reaching out for help, whether it's going to therapy, but especially around our sexuality, because, like, we feel so much shame around that. And we're like, oh my God, if I'm not, like, super orgasmic and having the best sex in my whole life, then I must be broken. But I feel like the vast majority of people on this planet are struggling with their sexuality in some way. And it's because we're not receiving this experiential education and this empowerment and this deep reclamation and ownership of our sexuality. And we think, like, we should only see someone if we're quote unquote broken, instead of thinking of it as, like, it's like a checkup, or just like getting a teacher or a coach for any other area of your life. Like, if you're learning a language, if you're, I don't know, wanting to get really fit or run a marathon, like, you would hire a teacher or a coach. It's just like that for sexuality. Like, we can receive mentorship around this.
Yeah. It's like, you are the CEO of your life, and you are hiring somebody to, like, to help you grow much faster. And, mm-hmm. and what, it's really funny that you mentioned this, because what happened was actually the opposite. Like, when we reach out for professional help, we're like, oh, I'm not broken.
Exactly.
Like, it is the structure that's broken. And it's the lack of knowledge that made me feel this way. But it is so, even if in the process you have to, you know, come face to face with our ignorance in any area, it feels so good, like, to know there is so much space for discovery, for exploration, for improvements. And I would say, like, connection as well. And really, like, having professional help, I feel like it's fast tracking, because you have all sorts of way to get information, right? You can read book, you can watch, like, videos, but really, it's like, when you are in the presence of somebody who really immerses themselves in this area, you're not just getting information. It's not about the information. It's the way they possess themselves. It's the way they hold themselves in their sexuality or any area. It's their presence. And if you can come to a place with so much openness and receptivity, it's gonna change your life. You're gonna receive their deep transmission, not just the knowledge. If you feel shame in your body in the presence of them, you don't feel that you it's so much, you don't feel that much shame because they don't see it from a place of like, this is shameful. And you just start to feel like, oh, the way I related to it, it's kind of, it's only a way of relating to my body. And so, yeah, I can't stress it. Like, I just feel so deeply myself, how if you're, the minute you are open, the minute your psyche decided to be open, it's fearful, it's scary. It's like scary to overcome that I am problematic or I need help. That means something wrong about me. If you can overcome that, you're going to be rewarded with grace. That's how I can say it.
Fuck yes. And I feel like it's only in recent human history where we have this, especially in the US, this hyper individualistic outlook. And we're like, I have to conquer and achieve everything on my own. And I have to have it all figured out automatically and never ask for help. Where if you look at so many cultures throughout history, like especially when you go way, way, way back to the indigenous cultures, initiation and mentorship and consulting the elders, like that was such a normal just way of life and part of life. You wouldn't go on these quests or these initiations completely on your own, unless if an elder was like guiding you to go do something on your own. But it's like with guidance and mentorship and people who have been through the fucking trenches and they can transmit that wisdom to you. And like you said, it's like when it comes to this journey, whether it's like healing or sacred sexuality or spirituality, there's so much information that we can read and just absorb and consume. And like you said, being in the presence of an embodied transmission is like, it's unlike anything else because you're attuning to their energy. You're receiving the transmission. Your body is co-regulating with their nervous system, and just being in their presence is inherently expanding your perspective on a somatic level of what's possible for yourself and for life.
Yeah. I had a call like beginning of the year around dating, and it was 2 hours, and after that I really felt like my whole, the past two three weeks I've been like really deeply integrating. Is it's a whole shift. That's where I'm like, when I was telling you I'm building my relationship with my ignorance, it came from that call where like, okay, I knew nothing, and I started to be open to everything. And so yeah, it's not just 1 hour or 2 hours, it's a decade of learning from that person in 2 hours. I mean, like, not, of course it's not copy paste, but it's more than 2 hours. It's fast tracking.
Exactly. Like, okay, I can read this on my own and take in the information, or I can like embody it and integrate it and have like you said, the transmission of someone who's emanating that just through their way of being.
Yeah. It's also like, it's the same thing as worthiness, right? If you are the CEO of this life or this body mind, then you pay the best people to fast track growth and connection for yourself.
Totally. Yeah, for me, that's been really big around worthiness, like you mentioned, and also around beauty, like owning my beauty. That's something I've struggled with a lot, is not being able to see my own beauty, or if I did think I was beautiful, like judging that and shaming that and being like, oh no, that means you're full of yourself, or you're an attention whore, or you're conceited or superficial or whatever. And just like, yeah, not being connected to being able to realize my own innate beauty and owning that.
When I first knew that I was going to go to Mexico with you, I double click your profile. Cause so I was like, ooh, she's beautiful. I took that extra second to click and appreciate your beauty, just so you know.
Thank you, Xiaowei. The beauty in me sees the beauty in you. Thank you. Oh my goodness. I feel like so alive and energized in this conversation. Does it feel aligned with you to talk a bit about penis massage?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So right off the bat, is there anything you want to share, or do you prefer if I ask you questions?
Yeah, you could. I'm open to you asking me questions.
Okay. So I guess tying back to the beginning of this conversation, let's say someone, for example, in a heteronormative situation, let's say like a woman has only ever like pleasured a man from this place of feeling disconnected to their own worthiness and pleasure and like sexual sovereignty. And it's like, oh, I'm just doing this because this is what I quote unquote should do. This is what's expected of me. Or I just want to get a sense of love and acceptance. Like, how can someone start to give pleasure, for example, a penis massage, from this place of being connected to their own pleasure and their own juiciness?
One simple shift of feeling, like when you are giving massage, when you're touching another person, being like giving oral, giving whatever, when you are feeling yourself, when you're feeling the other person's body, but when you are connecting to your feeling, that's what shifts you from being here to being embodied. That in that moment, sorry, I have a helicopter flying over. But yeah, that's really, this is what I said. When a woman gets into her body through giving, penis massage or whatever, it started to teach and show the men, the other person, how to be in their body. And that's what I said, you started to create a field. So feel this person and really enjoy the texture of the thigh, enjoy the pressure. When you give pressure, you actually get a sensory feedback, right? Like you feel good, like when you touch something lightly and when you touch something like with more pressure, it feels differently in your body. And so you are really, you're feeling yourself. You're caring for the other body, but then you're also at least 60% in your own body. You're feeling first and foremost. And I think that really helped to bring us down to the body and to a flow. Because I think penis massage or like intimate massage, erotic massage is the gateway to a really flowy sexual lovemaking experience. There's so many like good thing I can talk about this, and I'm feeling so deeply, but really I think that's and also another benefit is I got a question the other day, like how to initiate as a woman. I think you initiate like this. You initiate through a full body erotic massage, which may or may not leads to a penis massage. And when you are doing massage from a place of giving, like, you know, this is a gift that I am giving, and you coming from a place of kind of serving, and of course with some playfulness, it's a really beautiful way to first beautiful energy to be in. And then second, it helps to melt the other person's body. And when our body are relaxed and kind of like melting like a jelly, it's easier to connect with another body from that place. If that's somebody that you wanted to connect with, when you are relaxed, when you're really, really relaxed, there is a inherent impulse to connect. And you're following that impulse instead of this idea that we do sex, right? First step, second and third. You're really surrendering to the body and let the body feel the impulse to connect. And like I said, you started off with no intention, even though, you know, you're asking the question, how do I initiate? But if you just simply give from this place, the other person's body might really respond. Like they might feel the desire that's really coming from the body in that moment.
Yum. I'm officially turned on. Thank you. I want to highlight what you said about like the 60-40 when it comes to awareness, like 60%, 40%, like being so, this is so life-changing. It sounds so simple and it is simple, but it's not easy. But be aware of where is your awareness? Is your awareness in the mind and the thoughts and analyzing the situation? And also recognize that this is a lifelong practice. Like, can you melt your awareness into your body and also expand your awareness to be partially in the body of the person that's receiving and also have that awareness within your own body? And that makes it so much more delicious. And I also want to highlight that penis massage can be extremely vulnerable for the person receiving. A lot of men have never had that experience of like someone massaging or like worshiping their penis in that way. And usually their relationship with their penis is something that like they've been conditioned to relate to this part of them as something that is like a taking energy or conquering energy instead of that part of the body being receptive. So when they're just like melting into receiving this beautiful touch that has no destination, you're not trying to like jerk them off or give them a hand job or make them ejaculate. It's literally just like massaging and loving and caressing and worshiping and devotion. Like that is so vulnerable for them. And that can bring up a lot of emotions within the man. And it's so vulnerable. So creating an environment of like safety and connection and acceptance is really important so that both of you, but especially like the receiver in this situation, feel safe enough to like let those emotions flow and really open their heart. It can be so exposed and so vulnerable. Yeah. Do you have any other words of wisdom around like techniques? And yeah, techniques that people could work with, or also when it comes to like setting the space for this massage to happen.
Knowing that we are creating an experience, right? Yeah. Like we are the artist, and how do you want to create this experience? And I would usually start with the music. Like music really helped me. Mm. And I know you are a music magician too, right? Like it really helped to set the space. And then I can massage on all kinds of music. I can also massage on a really I don't know the name of the genre, but yeah, basically I can, different music gives a different vibe. Mm-hmm. And I would start with the body. Like I would really, because we are touching something that's the most vulnerable part on a man's body. And you really start by connecting with this person's body. And I'm going to share one thing that I learned and I absolutely love from a tantra training that I went, which is when you are connecting with the body, you connect with your heart. Mm-hmm. When you're touching this person's body, spend some time, feel your heart as you're touching them. Feel this blossoming and overflowing of love or just appreciation from your body. And it's also the center of our feeling, the gateway, the portal to presence. So you connect to your heart as you're laying your hands on the other person's body, and you feel, you take the moment, you don't start off doing any action, you just be, you feel, you feel, you feel, you know, like with this touch, I can get it to a place of like a really deep presence. Like I feel the touch melt between my body and the other person's. And then you started, you can start your massage, but it's like this brief moment of meditating almost. It's like a few minutes of meditating through connection and touch. And that sets the space. So it's the, it's, yeah, there's the music, but it's also the energy, the energy of a deep connection to your heart. That's where you want to come from. I think that's the most important thing. And technique will flow from that, because when you know you're coming from this place of caring and attending and serving, you want to do it like this, right? Like you would it's a your hands are extension of the heart, and it really is. So let your hands express what you're feeling here, right? And if you don't feel like that, maybe don't. And I'm not talking about like deep love, like that only happens in whatever kind of relationship. It's just caring for beings, you know, like this caring for, it's just feel, it's feeling, it's caring for beings, and you express from that place. And then when it comes to, you know, you might be giving a massage for 30 minutes ish at least, I would suggest you start from the back and you go to the front. And you started like, you start with being present. You start with holding, like just like laying your hands, like cupping. Once again, it's connecting your heart to the penis that you're touching. And there's this deep reverence that you are, like appreciation and reverence that you're feeling. And you go from there. It really, you trust your body, it flows, right? Like you started, you would start caressing it. But that's where I would start. It's really the deeper presence that you are connecting.
I love that you emphasize like the presence and like the frequency that you're emanating, and also how much like just juicier and more natural it feels when you focus less on it needing to be a certain technique or needing to look or feel a certain way or get to a certain outcome, and more on like moment to moment to moment to moment. What is alive here? What is this moment asking of me? When I can attune to the this person's body as the instrument that it is, how does it want to be played? How does it want to be caressed? And like you said, allowing it to come from this heart-centered place of love. That doesn't mean you need to marry this person. That doesn't mean it has to be a long-term relationship. It doesn't mean you have to be in love with this person, but can you be in love, in the energy and the frequency of love? And like the center of the palms, like you said, in reflexology, like that's the heart point. So can you feel like the love and the openness and the care and compassion of your heart, like pouring out through your heart and down your arms and out of your hands, and just like making it an experience? For me, it's incredibly powerful when we drop the goals and the destinations and objectives, and we let it just be moment to moment presence and connection.
Yeah. To me, it's really high level skill, if it's a skill, that I would say about penis massage, because most people would first and foremost focus on the skill, and it's really hard to drop it because we are conditioned. Like, I want to know how, but yeah, like if you can come from this place where we were talking about, it's almost like you are massaging, not just with the oil, but with this, you are oiling them with love. And there is nothing more valuable that you can give another person when you are caring and loving and respecting and reverencing his body like that. There is nothing there that he cannot get that from anywhere else. And yes, it just, it's beautiful.
I want to make that the name of this episode, how to oil him with love. I love that so much. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yum. I wrote down so many notes. Let's see. I feel like when it comes to learning anything or exploring anything for the first time, like technique and step-by-step guidance, like can be super helpful, like to know, okay, this is what I'm doing. But I think like we get stuck in thinking that we need to compare ourselves to a certain technique or a certain way that it should be, or we can become rigid or stick to it. So whether it's meditation or whether it's, I don't know, sex magic or giving a penis massage, like step-by-step technique can be so helpful when we're learning it.
Yeah.
And then for me, the trick is like to drop the technique and come back to the moment. Also with coaching, like in the beginning, it was so helpful to have like step-by-step. Okay, this is what I do, then this. And now like getting to this place where it's just moment to moment intuitive flowing. And that takes this really deep sense of trust, trusting yourself and also trusting life.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Like having us, you know, the 20 different strokes you can give, it really helped because we didn't know. So I would recommend like getting some resources on that. Like that's why there's courses, because when you see, and then you see how that person moves, you just get it. Like many of my clients that like students, clients, they get it when they see how my body moves, because they never saw, it's like it was never registered in their mind. When they saw, oh, it's like that, their body just gets it. They receive that transmission and then they flow.
The body remembers.
Yeah. The body knows. And then their body started to, and then from that point on, when you have that basic down, your body really level up on its own. Really. Like every time I was with my my ex, and like that's like he would really say, wow, like where did you learn? How did you get better at this? And it's for me, it was just, it's really in the doing. It's like your body just gets better and better. Yeah.
Totally. Well, Xiaowei, this conversation has been so yummy and so good. Like my whole body is on fire right now. is there anything else that you wish I would have asked you, or anything else that you want to leave the listeners with before we share how people can find you?
They can find me on my Instagram, and I think you can attach my Instagram connection, but our conversation is very, it's very charging for me as well. I'm feeling really alive from this conversation. I'm really happy we made that happen.
Me too. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And yeah, I'll definitely have all your links in the show notes so people can check you out. And I also just want to take a moment to honor you and your wisdom and depth and embodiment and everything that you share with the world. Like you, have been such a soul sister and such an expander for me as well. You're so like just confident in your body and your nudity and like the reclamation that you have for your body. And that has been such an expander for me. So thank you for everything that you are and everything you offer. You're beautiful.
Say the same thing to you as well. Beautiful sister.
Thank you so much for listening to The Sensuous, the home for real, raw conversations about sex, love, relationships, power, somatic healing, spirituality, and fully owning our human experiences. The absolute best way to stay connected and receive the most powerful teachings and offerings is by heading to bloomwithnadine.com/newsletter to sign up for my email list. It's also incredibly supportive if you take a minute to tap the follow button and leave a rating and written review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This really helps more beautiful souls like yourself discover this content. If you resonated with the episode, definitely make sure to share it on your social media and tag me at I am Nadine Hamilton. Send it along to your friends, lovers, and family, and keep listening to more episodes. Let's spread the word about these taboo yet essential discussions. I love and appreciate you so very deeply, and I'm celebrating you for making it to the very end of a podcast episode. Congratulations. I hope you do something to honor your inner sensuous creature today. Thank you for being here.